What a great group of folks. Amen. For those of you who've been online and are sharing with us in this series, for those of you who are new in the room, we're studying together in a series called What Now? And the key aspect of that is to begin to understand how the power of the resurrected Jesus moves from information, we know that he rose, to power and influence in our lives and how we live that out every day. Now, what we've been doing over these last weeks is kind of journeying with the early followers of Jesus, the disciples, and taking a look at how they transition from powerless followers to people who begin to change the world. For them, it took 50 days. We know that Jesus met them on the morning of the resurrection. He met them again on the Sea of Tiberias in Galilee. He met them in the mountainside outside of Galilee. He met with them again back in Jerusalem. All during this time, there were places and moves that happened in the lives of the followers of Jesus that were equipping them and preparing them, not just to know that Jesus rose from the dead, but actually have the power of the resurrection to move and change their lives. Because if you see the disciples before the resurrection, they were learners. There's nothing really powerful coming out of their lives. But you see the disciples following in the book of Acts. You see them moving and working in miraculous ways. Anybody want a little of that? Amen? So what we want to think about is up to this point, Jesus has helped them understand their calling. He's called them back from places by which they have denied him and they're distant from him. He's helped them see on the horizon the place that he wants to take them, but they still basically are operating in their own power. Now it is day 40. Okay, we know that it takes about a month to establish new habits. And when it even comes to following Jesus, it takes about a month of practices and patterns for your life and my life begin to change and for the Word of God to begin to shift how we live and how we operate within our households and our lives and within our families and communities. So we're now at day 40, and Jesus has been meeting with the disciples, but they're still not where he knows they need to be before he leaves. Now, any of you know what happened on day 40 when Jesus is on earth? Anybody know? He ascended. There we go. He ascended into heavens. So, interesting shift that's going to take place. Up to this time, the disciples and the followers of Jesus have only known him by following him. You and I have never known Jesus by following him as a person, have we? We live on the other side. But at this point, the disciples have only known him by following. So, all of their confidence, all of their following, all their understanding came by looking and watching what Jesus did. Now, if Jesus wasn't going to be with him, that would be a much different situation. It'd be kind of like you being mentored by someone, and then your mentor says, "Hey, I'm done. You're on your own." And there's a little bit of fear, right? Well, can I really do this by myself? What is it going to be like if I don't get to see you in your footsteps? Will I make mistakes? What will happen? That's what they're feeling and experiencing at this time. So on this day, Jesus is going to give them something more and something more powerful. And that's what I want to talk about today, is the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to come into them. Now, as Christians, we often hear about God. God created the universe. He's powerful. We know him as our Father. We know about Jesus. We spend a lot of time talking about the cross, what Jesus did for us on the cross, how Jesus poured his life out for us, forgave our sins, walked on the face of the earth. And then we come to the point of the Holy Spirit, and we kind of scratch our heads a little bit. What do I do with him? What is his role in this whole aspect of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? But take a look what happens on day 40. On day 40 in Acts chapter 1, I want to pick up where Sarah left off last week, because what he's going to teach them is how to be Spirit-led, okay? And what I want to teach you today is how to be Spirit-led. led. That is the next critical step to move between information to actually the power of the Holy Spirit and of power of God in your life and mine. So Acts chapter 1, if you'll turn in your Bible apps, your Bibles, open that up. Some of these will be on the screen. You can follow along with me. So Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, goes like this. So when they had come together, these are disciples, they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, if you were here last week or listening online last week, you know that Sarah taught on this passage. And she was sharing in a message that Jesus had to come to them in this passage and help them make the leap from their questions. We all know there's another question, right? No matter how much you know, there's always another question. And sometimes we can get, as Sarah talked about last week, bogged down in needing to know more, especially if you're a Myers-Briggs that has a P on the end of it. You're perceptive. You're always looking for more. You're always asking another question. And sometimes we can kind of get hung up in, I'm not sure I can move forward because I'm not sure if I know enough. I still have a question. Well, that's awesome to keep asking questions. But at this point, Jesus says, you're not going to know everything. There's things that are not going to be for you to know. There's things you're never going to know about God. But what am I going to do? I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive power, and you will be witnesses. So I want you to hold those two together. Whenever the Bible speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit is always doing something of a kingdom agenda for God. Listen to that. The Holy Spirit is never for your own entertainment. The Holy Spirit isn't for you to have a particularly more productive life in the world. The Holy Spirit is always moving to advance the kingdom cause of God and the kingdom living in your life. Got that, church? Okay. So first of all, we want to understand the move and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has always been. If you read the book of Genesis, you will see that God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit moved over the face of the waters. See, God's Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit always has been. You will see the move of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Now, typically in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon a few, particularly the prophets, or moves, or kings, in which God was wanting to make a kingdom move in the people. So the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophet, come upon the king, to announce or proclaim something to God's people to move forward. But that was about to change. Now what Jesus is speaking about to the disciples and to his church is the Holy Spirit isn't going to be just upon a few. The Holy Spirit is going to be able to be poured out on everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. So he's sharing with the disciples, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a what? Anybody remember? You're going to have a witness. Say that with me. A witness. Understand. Whenever you receive the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit moves in your life, you will always have, say it with me, a witness. Because the Holy Spirit always brings miraculous, supernatural gifts. Okay? And when the supernatural and gifts of God come into your life, it is not normal to the world, so therefore you always have a witness. So you will always see the Holy Spirit kind of coming along with the words witness. Okay, so if you're wondering, well, I don't know if I got a witness. You might wonder, well, I don't know if the Holy Spirit's moving and working in my life. At the end of today, you will know. You will know, and you will know how to receive even more powerfully the move of the Spirit in your life and in my life. Let's look back at Luke 24. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. They're one book. They're just cut off by, we could say, the Luke is about the story of Jesus, and Acts is about the story of the disciples who followed Jesus and how they changed the world around them. So if we step back and look at Luke when he's talking about Jesus in chapter 24, turn your passage to this, verse 45, he says this. Jesus then opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Hear the witness? Okay? Forgiveness of sins, and that it should be proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You saw in Acts, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Churches are called to be in mission in their town, the people of peace in the next place that they don't know, and ongoing through it's the worldwide mission that God calls us to. And he says, you are going to be witnesses to these things. What things? To the things that Jesus did and what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. He says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay here in the city until you're clothed with power, Holy Spirit's power from on high. That's a lot, isn't it? Okay? So this is before the book of Acts. This is before he is about to ascend into heaven and say, I'm going to clothe you with power on high. He's already letting them know there's something coming. You don't have it now, but there's something coming. Is the power of the Holy Spirit, is the gift from my Father that's going to come upon you in order for you to be the witness that I created you to be, and the Holy Spirit in your life is going to create the witness. Got it? So if you're worried about a witness, don't worry anymore. When the Holy Spirit comes and falls upon your life, you will have a witness. Now, what is interesting here is Jesus says in John's writing in Revelation, when he's writing on the island of Patmos, and he's talking about what Jesus is doing in life, there's a passage I love. It says this, that behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door, I will come in and make my home in them. Now, what door is he speaking about? Anybody know? This door of your heart. Behold, I am standing, knocking at the door of your heart. I mean, isn't that a gentle Jesus? He's not breaking down the door. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And he says, if anyone will open the door, listen, church, if you open the door, what will he do? He will come in. Now, up to this point, the disciples are following Jesus. Jesus isn't in them. Jesus is out here. And they're following. They're following him by what they see and what they do. But in Revelation, John's always writing, it says, if you not open the door, I will come in and make my home there. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. You see, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one. And that Jesus on the outside now becomes Jesus on the inside. No longer are you watching what Jesus is doing. He is now in you, directing you to do what Jesus would do. Hear me, church? Okay? Understand that. Really important. Now, this is also important. When Jesus said to them in Luke 24, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Who helps you understand scriptures? Jesus. You cannot understand scripture as an unbeliever. It'll be like any book you read of anything. It's just a book. All Jesus is asking you and me to do is open your heart to him. That's the biggest, hardest, most difficult thing we could ever do, isn't it? Opening your heart to someone. And he's saying, open your heart to me. I'll take care of the rest. Open your heart, and I will come in. And when he comes in, as he tells disciples, I will open the word because I'm in you, so you can now understand the word, and the power of my spirit will now live and reign in you, and you will live the word. Isn't Christianity awesome? Every religion that people claim in the world, and a lot of people claim a lot of other religions besides Christianity, two things. One is they have no basis of truth because they're not grounded on the proof of the resurrection that we talked about in week one. They're a figment of makeup of people's minds because we long for something more powerful and greater. Secondly, they require you to be active and successful in order to be saved. When Christianity is about Jesus doing all the work and all he says is open your heart, I will come in, I will now open the word for you to understand it, and I will give you the Holy Spirit to guide you. It's about me in you. Isn't that awesome? That's the testimony. So what he gives us is a very simple process. He says, this is what I want you to understand. I'm going to open the word that you understand that God loves you, And he loves you so much, he's going to come to earth, and he's going to die for your sins. That means the things that we've done that oppose God or walk away from God. And if we repent of our sin, which means that we turn away and say, you know, that's not the direction I want to go. I want to go Jesus' way. Then he forgives our sins because he is faithful and he's just. And we become inheritors of the kingdom as his children forever. And he'll give us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us live as his children. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? So we might ask, well, what am I missing? Why don't I feel or experience the power of the Holy Spirit in and through my life? So let's look at John 14. Earlier in the book of John, Jesus is already teaching them about the one who is to come, the Holy Spirit. He says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, hear that? The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And whose name? Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes through the name of Jesus. Is Jesus who's knocking on the door of your heart? Is Jesus you want to let in? And Jesus then brings in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't have the Holy Spirit without who? Jesus. He's the one that God sent into the world to save you and me from our sins and to draw us closer to him. The Father will send him in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, how much is the Holy Spirit going to teach you? All things. Not some things. All things. Now, is it to teach you to be a better parent? I think that one counts. Is it to teach you to be a better investor? Probably not. So what's the difference? Where is the Holy Spirit intersecting, and what is worldly and what is godly? You know, we read all kinds of books. We do all kinds of studies. We do all kinds of things as human beings to try to make it in this world that's going away. Just ponder that for a moment. How many books do we read? How many newscasts? How much studies do we do to survive well on the face of the earth for 60, 70, 80 years if you're lucky? And what things do we need to learn that have us live these 60, 70, 80 years and then millions others after? We need to think about our proportion here. Because we are not worldly, we belong to God. We are given a task through the movement of the Holy Spirit on the face of the earth that gives our lives meaning and purpose that we talk about in the mission. That God has us here for significant purposes for his kingdom agenda, and it is the Holy Spirit that will teach us all things as to how to live that well. And by the way, if you look at the Bible, it also has us live well in our marriages, in our relationships, and life on earth that brings us joy and freedom. We can see the difference between worldly and godly, a worldview and a God view. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Let me say this again. The Holy Spirit does not equip us for personal gain. Rather, for empowers us for kingdom life. I want you to hold on to that. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, we've already seen that it brings a witness. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit, which came on the day of Pentecost, which would be on the 50th day, the Holy Spirit came upon them. We read this in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you can imagine that Luke writing here is trying to describe this movement. It's like when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and it just feels different. We don't know how to describe it. So they're just trying to find the words that people can relate to. It's kind of like fire. It felt like the rushing wind. We could feel something in the room, but we weren't sure how to identify it. But then we saw its action. People begin to speak in other languages. Ah, wow. The first miracle of the Holy Spirit was about what? Witness. The first miracle was allowing the testimony that Jesus said, this is the gospel, to be shared around the world. And then right after it says, what's going on? These people are drunk. And Peter stands up and says, they're not drunk. They just have received another language. This guy who only spoke Greek can now speak Ethiopian. They all begin to speak these other languages because what God wants to do is the kingdom agenda to be spread through the world. I've often asked God, would you give me the gift of language without me having to work so hard for it? Anybody ever done that? I want you just to give me something free. I've actually even studied it, and it just doesn't come easy. But then I look around and I go, man, has God gifted Christ the King Church with a lot of languages? There's people in this church that speak languages literally all over the world and are witnesses. And I think, well, there's the miracle of Pentecost, right? All that has to happen is the Holy Spirit moving in that line, in that language, creating a witness that now is shared throughout the world, and Acts is happening. It's a miracle. You might say, well, I still don't experience a miracle. So how do I know if the Holy Spirit is active in my life? Have you ever been in a very difficult time and you simply don't know how it's going to end? You don't know what decision to make next. Your heart is aching and you just feel lost. You get on your knees and you begin to pray to Jesus because you know Jesus. And in that midst of that prayer, you feel a peace and a calm. And a voice enters your spirit that says, it's going to be okay. You just received the Holy Spirit. And whenever the Holy Spirit shows up, you always have a witness. Because you can't separate the Holy Spirit without a witness. Your witness, the miraculous witness, because see, the world doesn't act in this way. You might think everybody gets this. No, they don't. I talk to many who are godly, many who are worldly. It is wildly different out there. If you're receiving that, you just received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved into your life, and you now have a witness that you can share with somebody. Wow, this is miraculous. This is what Jesus did. Let me tell you about it. Have you ever been facing a temptation where you know it's wrong, but our flesh cries out because we simply want what we want? That's kind of human nature. And in fact, all of our friends do it. They're in this scandal, or they're in this action, or they're doing this thing, and it just feels so heavy. And you begin to pray to Jesus because you know Jesus. And you open your heart. And all of a sudden you say, I don't need to do that. I can walk away from that. And it's going to be okay. And it doesn't matter what my friends say. You just had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit becomes our defender that helps us stand secure in the face of temptation. We even pray it in the Lord's Prayer. And now you have a witness, right? Because the Holy Spirit allowed you to stand when you would have otherwise fallen. Have you ever been on the Christian journey and it's just become hard? A lot of the world things are pushing against you. And you don't know, I don't know if I can keep going to my group. I don't know if I can keep coming to church. You know, I just feel drained. It's hard. I just don't have any stamina to live out this Christian calling every day when it's different from the world. And you get on your knees and you pray to Jesus. And all of a sudden, you feel stronger. There's this stamina that has you stand up straight, and you take a deep breath, and you say, I can keep going. It's going to be okay. And you walk the next mile and you keep going. It's kind of like when the Holy Spirit came upon Elijah in the Old Testament. And he was able to get in front of the chariot of Ahab, the king. And it says he ran in front of the chariot for 25 miles, the first marathoner, by the way, faster than the chariot. He had unbelievable stamina. But it said it started out with the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was able to do this. You just got a witness. Why do you stand in the gap day after day, year after year, for your family and for your workplace in standing strong for Jesus? Because the Holy Spirit's in you. It is your witness. Oh, there's so many more. Anybody ever been confused about what's right or what's wrong? You know, you watch the news, you watch the world, and everything's become a situational ethics. It means that what I want is okay because it's okay with me, and whatever you want's okay with you. There's really not a right or wrong. It's simply what I think. That's the world we're in. And it's really dangerous because we begin to be lost in that place. We don't know what God wants and what God doesn't want. We don't know what's sabotaging our eternity with God because we want what we want. And you get on your knees and you pray to Jesus. And all of a sudden, as the Bible says, you have a wisdom that comes to you from above. You can speak into things that you go, I don't know where those words came from. Or you begin to see clearly, this is right and that's wrong. You see, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin and bring us to repentance. You just received the Holy Spirit that saved your life and gave you what? A witness. See, that's the move of the Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit, whether we're children or youth or adults. We want the power of the Holy Spirit moving in each of our lives. Unless we think that was something back then, on the day of ascension when Jesus said to them, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Well, they're lucky. They got all the good stuff. We didn't. No. Because when they all came to Peter right after the Pentecost event, they were all coming to Peter and Peter began to preach. And he preaches from the prophet Joel and it says, in the last days, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. How many of you are included in all? Raise your hand. I think he's got you covered. He says, I'll pour it out on your sons and daughters. Those are the ones coming after you. I'll pour it out on your young men and your old men. I'll pour it out on those that are working with you. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. It's for us. The person of God, the Holy Spirit, is not Jesus on the outside. It's God on the inside. Open the door. And I will come in. Paul writes in Romans, as he's trying to describe it, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in what? The Holy Spirit. You want a little of that? I do. Galatians says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You want a little bit more of that? There it is. And if that's happening, you got a witness. I have self-control in that aspect. That's my witness. I've got patience when I wouldn't normally have patience. That's a witness. I've got love in the midst of people that have hated me. That's a witness. I've got joy in times that I should be sad. That's a witness. Hear me, church? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. In Acts chapter 2, awe came upon every soul. We had some baptisms up here at 9:30, and the little kids were looking at that thing, and they're like, whoa. Wouldn't you like to have a little bat with Jesus? Wouldn't you like to wake up in the morning and go, whoa, Jesus showed up? That happens when the Holy Spirit moves. It says, many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And as they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, that type of generosity, that type of unity, that type of letting go of yourself is proof of the Holy Spirit. You got a witness. It wouldn't be happening without Him. So if you're still thinking, I think I got left out. What I put in your outline is how you don't get left out. This is really important because the disciples on day 40 were feeling left out. They were feeling like Jesus was ascending to heaven and they're getting left behind. That he had all the good stuff and they don't. So over those 40 days, he taught them four critical things. And the Holy Spirit came. The first one is this. Put Jesus first. There's only one first place. And in our world, we can vie for that in lots of ways. Jesus comes before your spouse. Jesus comes before your family. Jesus comes before your work. He comes before any of your decisions about yourself. There can only be one first, and it must be Jesus. In Acts 2:37, Peter began to preach the gospel that Jesus came, they loved them, died for them. And this is what they said in verse 37 in Acts 2:37. It goes, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to them and to the rest of the disciples, repent and be baptized, every one of you. They asked, well, what are we to do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How honest can you be? In essence, he's saying, put Jesus first. Turn from your way, turn to his way, be baptized, become a part of the family of God, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he said to them. And over 3,000 people were baptized. That was just the head of households. Crazy day. Second is this, desire what God has to give. We all desire what everybody else has to give. What about God? In Matthew 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And he goes on to say, "Is how many of you who are evil, which is all of us, how many of you that are living in this world by which we sin and we have ourselves typically first, will actually do good things for people, right? I mean, I know you people. You all do good things for people. But how many of you that are sinful will do good things? How much more will you, Heavenly Father, who cannot sin, who has no evil in him, do good things for you? Do you want the good things? And in fact, in Gospel Luke, it says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the good thing of the Holy Spirit? Because that's the best thing. I don't know about you, but I look back at my life, and there's many things I've asked God for. And at this stage of my life, I've looked back and said, thank you, you did not give that to me. You might relate. You see, God knows exactly the good thing. In my sin and flesh as you, we don't know it. But we can trust that God will only give us a good thing. And it's interesting that Luke records that Jesus actually said, and the best thing is to give you the Holy Spirit, because then you are guided and you're comforted and you're cared for and you have wisdom from above in his own producing over and over in your life, which makes your life flourish. Number three is this, love Jesus more. Do you love him more than anything? I know I have to ask that question of myself. The world competes for our love. The world competes for your love with one another. What can I do? What can you do to love him more? Can I reflect every morning? Can I look at the cross and say, you did that for me? Your love is endless. It never fades, never fails. Can I fall in love with you again today? It's interesting in John 14, listen to this carefully, John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, in essence, you will walk in a kingdom agenda. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Hear that? If you love me, you want to walk in the way that I'm walking, and I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It comes because we love Jesus. And he wants to give us the greatest gifts of all because he loves us. When you love someone, you want to give them what is awesome. If you love your family, you want to give them Jesus. If you love your coworker, you want to give them Jesus. That's what it means to love. The last one I'll leave you with is this, and Pastor Jason's going to pick up with it next week as we close out. Be where the praise is happening. If you feel lost right now, you feel empty, you kind of feel dead on the inside, there's no joy in the Holy Spirit, worship. This is interesting. Acts 2, 1 through 4 says, it starts off, says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. How many of them you think knew it was the day of Pentecost? All Jesus said was, stay in the city and wait till the power comes upon you. He didn't tell them a day. He didn't even tell them all that they had to do. He said, wait. Wait with me. We know looking back it was the day of Pentecost, but not looking forward. But what were they doing? It says they were all gathered in one place. 100+ people gathered in one place. What were they doing? They're praising God. They're worshiping. They're talking about Jesus. They're loving one another. And while they're doing that, the Holy Spirit falls on them like fire and wind, and they begin to receive because they had opened their heart. I always think it's amazing when I go to conferences and you're around a bunch of believers, how powerful the Spirit moves in worship. Why do you think we start off worship with worship? Because it breaks us down from worshiping ourselves and puts Jesus right at the door knocking. So I asked the worship team to come up, vocalists come on up front, and I want us to spend these last moments just worshiping. Open your heart. Let Jesus in. He will open the word of truth in your life, and he will bring the Holy Spirit, and he will transform you forever. Let's worship.